Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وكان أحر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمت ورضيت لكم إسلام الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وجمعة مبارك الحمد لله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You see, I gotta admit, you know, you see some fiddling up here because the technology is competing with each other for who's going to be on the AirPods. So, sorry about that. أما بعد. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والعزى كالذي ينفق ماله رئاء الناس ولا يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فمثله كمثل صفوان عليه تراب فأصبه وابل فتركه صلدا لا يقدرون على شيء مما كسبوا والله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. This is the 64th ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, and an expression of it is, O you who believe, cancel not your acts of charity by reminders of your generosity or feelings of injury, like those who spend their wealth to be seen of men, but believe neither in Allah nor in the last day. They are in parable like a hard barren rock on which is little soil. On it falls heavy rain, which leaves it just a bare stone. They will be able to do nothing with what they have earned, and Allah guides not those who reject faith. ومثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم ابتغاء مرضات الله وتثبيتا من أنفسهم كمثل جنة بربوة أصحابها وابل فأتت أكلها ضعفين فإن لم يعصف إن لم يصبها وابل فطال والله بما تعملون بصير. This is the 265th ayah, and an expression of it is, and the likeness of those who spend their wealth seeking to please Allah and to strengthen their souls is as a garden high and fertile. Heavy rain falls on it, but makes it yield a double increase of harvest. And if it receives not heavy rain, light moisture suffices it. Allah sees well whatever you do. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Kullu ummatin fitnatun wa fitnatu ummati al-mal. He said, every nation faces a trial, fitna. And the trial of my ummah, the trial of my ummah is wealth. We can really see that today. Alhamdulillah, today we're continuing on the address of the topic of mal, which is one of five daruri, five obligatory foundations, pillars for the building of ummah, family, intellect, religion, the self and property, which is mal. And we're actually walking through and working through Surah Al-Baqarah 261 all the way to 286, inshallah, and having looked at it, it actually goes back further. Of course, the entire Quran is embraced there. but we addressed the previous verses, 261, 62, 63, and today is 64 and 65. And what we're given in these two ayah, are illustrations, parables, examples of two different types of people, which also point out to us the different ways that people can respond to wealth, that people can respond to property. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, revealing to us, telling us, listen, this is the reality that you live in until you die. It's so very, very important. I mean, I'll remind us again, I'll say it because it's just so important. And I'm evolving myself. And this is getting reiterated for me again and again, so I have to do it for you. And that is, this book, what Allah has revealed to us, this is the Lord of the worlds. This is the creator of everything. This is not somebody said, look, I got a word for you from God. Okay, let me tell you what he said. You know, he said this, he said that. No. This revelation is what Allah himself said. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was just a speaker. Just like that speaker you're hearing in the building. It's like the speaker is not speaking. The speaker is not speaking, even though we call it a speaker, right? The message is coming through, and mashallah, inshallah, without distortion. That's Muhammad. But who are the words from? They are from Allah, who created the heavens and the earth. So that's just the words. Now when you look at the meaning, okay, and what did he say? Whatever he's telling us, he's saying, listen, this is reality. And see, this is the trial. The trial is, do you believe it? That's the child. Yeah, it sounds beautiful. You know, yeah, we got a book from God. Yeah, your book ain't from God. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, who wrote that? Yeah, 325 CE, blah, blah, blah. They made a book. First, it was this book, told them to close their eyes and pray, and then when they look back up, then your 66 book. But that ain't from God. Look at that. Ain't none of that, ain't even prophets. Whatever we say about other people's books, and then turn around and say, but our book is from God. Okay? And what do you do because of it? What do we do because of it? Do you act like you know and believe that that is the word of the creator of everything? God says, odious and heinous is it that you say what you do not. This is what God says. So these two ayahs are talking about two different responses with relationship with regard to charity, because the whole thing is about charity and about how we deal with our wealth in principle. They speak to two different attitudes that one can take due to the nature of the trial of wealth and who that attitude constructs or destroys. Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah alayh, my teacher, he said, we don't own anything. Allah owns everything. The only thing we own is our attitude toward it. You don't own that car. What you do own, though, is your attitude toward it. You don't own that house. What you do own is your attitude toward it. You don't own that bank account. But what you do own is your attitude towards it. And so that, therefore, becomes the trial. That's one of the ways that material life tries us. We have these things, but then there are influences that come along with the things that we have and that we acquire. How we manage the influences of our acquisitions, that's what is the consequence. And that's what's being judged. And that's what we experience. And that's how our life takes its direction. It takes its direction from how we respond to the ups and downs of our material life and how we act with regard to it. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْآمِلَ. He is the one who created the death and the life to try which of you is best in conduct. لِيَبْلُوكُمْ, to try you. Right, so that's all of, the kum is all of us. We are all being tried by life itself. Life itself is a trial. And it doesn't stop. Prophet Muhammad, he drew a rectangle. He drew a line from the bottom to the top, through the rectangle, cross-hatching lines across that long line that stretched outside of the box. And he said, this is man. The outer box is death. The line that's going up through it, that's his desires. And the cross-hatching lines are the trials and tribulations of life. So if one of these lines fails to get him, there's one line that will not fail to get him. And of course, that's death. Right? All of us are headed to the same destiny. But from the beginning to the end, life is, and I see those crosshairs. He said, if the lines are the trials and tribulations, then what's the space in between them? It's a description of فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرِ. عُسْرِ يُسْرِ. عُسْرِ يُسْرِ. Difficulty, then relief. Difficulty, so whatever's going on in our life, if it's good, it's only temporary. If it's bad, it's only temporary. عُسْرِ يُسْرِ, that's the nature of, and this is what Allah has said. He has created the life and the, pardon me, he says death first. He created the death and the life to try which of you is best in conduct. So as long as we live, we're going to be tried. One of the trials is wealth. One of the trials is wealth. We're tried in having it And we had tried in not having it. Oh, man, I'm broke. Well, that's a trial. How you going to do? Are you going to pass or are you going to fail? Right? And when we look at this this term, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, liyabluwakum, this balawa, the root of it, there's another verse that I want to bring to your attention in understanding the nature of this trial in life. And I didn't state what the title of this topic is, and that is responsibly investing yourself. Responsibly investing yourself. And we had the foundation for it, but I'll bring you into it. Who weren't with us from the beginning? Where Allah says, by the soul in the proportionate order given to it, and its enlightenment as to what would benefit, what would harm it, blessed is he that causes it to grow. Who is he and who is it? He is you, the free willing choosing person, you know? It is the soul that Allah created. You and I, as willing individuals, have a responsibility for that soul that Allah created. Quran says, "Ku anfusikum." He says, "Guard your soul." And then he says also, "Alaykum anfusikum." On you is the obligation of your soul. Some of us are old enough to remember when we used to go to those places, and Mama would tell you, "Now you look out for your little brother." You look out for your little sister. Y'all stay together. Alaykum anfusikum. Allah says, ما خلقكم وبعثكم إلا كنفس واحدة. He said, your creation and your resurrection is in no wise except as a single soul. So when God says, alaykum anfusikum, blessed is he that caused it to grow, that's not translation what I just said, you are obligated for your own soul. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ ذَكَّرَهَا, blessed is he that caused it to grow. That's God telling us, look, I've given you your soul and all of its potential and all of its content. The point is, what are you going to do with it? And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us, everyone wakes up in the morning as the vendor of their own soul. And throughout the day, they have transactions. The Prophet says, "Ad-din mu'amala." The way of life is transactions. So the way you interact with people, individuals, groups, institutions, each one of those things are being recorded. So it's going to be either a debit or a credit in some kind of way. And the Prophet said, and they return to their beds, either having destroyed it or having benefited it. So everything we do all day long is a transaction. And during the day, our goal is to have good transactions such that we have profited our own soul and our soul has grown by the way we behave throughout that day. Because you are the vendor of your soul. Alaykum anfusikum, and blessed is he that causes it to grow. How do you cause it to grow? You act in ways that are conducive to the good of your own soul. You have to responsibly invest your soul. So when you give, that is an investment in your soul. And this is also, and it's an investment of your soul. This is also what is being addressed in these verses. But I want to point to this, where Allah says, أَوْزُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالنَّبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ. And it says, 47:31, and we shall try you until we test, and this is that term there, وَنَبْلُوَ. We will test you until we test those among you who strive their utmost and persevere in patience, and we shall try. This is a translation of it, but it gives the sense that we want to share. It says, we will try your reported metal. And the metal is translated M-E-T-T-L-E. All right? So God is saying, you're going to be tested. This belawa is what I want to mention going forward. It's the same term when Allah says, liyabluwakum, in order to try and test. And the life is a test. So Allah faces us with situation, puts us in situations that are tests, that are trials. The object of the trial is to reveal what it, i.e. our soul, really is. Allah already knows. But it's for the revelation of our own soul. And when we get to, inshallah, we get to the second verses even more to that. But to understand the root sense of that word, meaning of that word, it means that you're being evaluated or you're being assessed in some way. And it carries the sense of scrutinizing, inspecting, or trying something to determine its quality, its effectiveness, its suitability. We're going to go to fitna, inshallah, but let's understand, try to get an understanding of the difference between the two. So the balawa is rooted in what? In our everyday experience. Subhanallah. Aki, we can make the sunnahs over there because people behind you trying to. MashaAllah. Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Jumu'ah Mubarak. Literally, it's like a test drive. That term, you want to hear it in practical terms, it's a test drive, right? So you're going to buy a car from somebody and say, okay, I want to take it for a test drive. What are you taking it for a test drive for? You're taking it for a test drive to see what the quality of the car is, right? And with the result of whatever that test might be, you'll have the opportunity to say, okay, well, you're asking for this much, but no, I'm willing to pay this much for it. Why? Because of the quality that I see that is lacking in it. I like this, but this is kind of low after my test drive. So consequently, that will change the situation in terms of the value or the price or the decision as to whether you will or will not buy it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, similarly with the nature of life, though he already knows, the trials that he puts us to are to reveal to us, really, the reality of ourself. Where it says, and we will test your reported metal, right? So you have people that give you high praise and high compliment and whatever to the extent that you praise yourself, right? And guys say, okay, well, let's test that out. Let's see how that's really, really going to work, right? And so Allah tries us with different circumstances in life as to reveal. And who is he revealing it to? He's mainly revealing and primarily revealing us to ourselves. You think you're this, but let me show you. Watch what you do when you get in this situation. Now that's you. Okay? Okay, so then Allah has revealed a way by which, okay, well, I got to work on that. If you survive it. Then we have to talk about fitna, inshallah. So, in fact, let's do that. In 64:15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ عَظِيمٌ. Allah says, your wealth and your children are a fitna. Well, I didn't need a revelation for that. No. You know, I couldn't pass that joke up, right? I've known that for a long time. See, God knows. Yeah. But fitna is a little different, right? Let me step back on the metal piece. I think I don't want you to miss the benefit of just the word itself. The Imam tells us that the way words sound, there's a message in the way they sound. Wherever there's a homonym, there's a synonym. Okay, we're talking about a person's character, right? And it's mentioned here, your reported medal, right? What do they give in the Olympics? They give medals, right? And the highest medal is gold, the next is the silver, and the final is the bronze, right? What do they give in the military? Medals, right? you get the bronze star, the whatever else that's given, and God bless those who give and serve. But it's their, the metal is telling you what the person is, okay, by those standards, right? So this is that. So those kind of trials are trials that reveal or say something about the character of the individual. Now the fitna has to do with testing, yes, but involving challenges and difficulties and even temptations. Now the difference in the Belawa, for example, using the metaphor or the example of test driving, fitna is such that you fail in the fitna, it could have devastating and disastrous consequences, right? The test drive scenario is, okay, so you got to work on this. Okay, you got to improve this. But when it comes to the fitna is facing you with a situation where if you do the wrong thing, if you don't, pass the test, it can have life-changing and life-ending consequences, right? And so, but that fitna is also a purification if we address it properly. So our wealth, then it invites us and it challenges us, what are you going to, okay, here you have the wealth. Now you're being called to give of it. That's a trial. All right? And as we've already explained, you have to give Allah's rights from what Allah favors you with in order to purify what remains with you. Because if you don't give from what Allah has given you, and Allah is the one who gives you everything that you have, if you don't recognize Allah's right in it, you have putrefied, you have poisoned, you have spoiled everything that remains with it because you haven't separated it from what is the rights of Allah in it, right? Fitna is a purification also, and that's when it says that your wealth and your children are a fitna, your wealth and your children are a trial, they are a temptation. Sometimes you can love your children in the wrong way and to an extent that is not justified in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that you behave in ways that are contrary to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. And you have to correct that and have the right relationship with Allah, with your children, and with Allah subhanahu, what Allah expects from you. Similarly, and also inside of that, the mates are included. I think there are other places in the Quran where it literally does include mates as well. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it is to be understood that our mates are also a fitna, a purification, a way by which we can be challenged, a way by which we're tried, a way by which we're made better. And it's a trial. It's a challenge. But if you pass the trial, if you meet the challenge, then you will be improved as an individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all these things to which we have to make decisions and about which we have to make decisions and about which we have to decide how we're going to be. And if we decide in the right way, then we are improved. If we decide in the wrong way, then we're diminished. If we decide in the right way, then we come more and more and more into the form that Allah created us to be in. But the more we fail, the more deformed we become. Alaykum anfusikum. You are responsible for your soul. What shape is your soul in? And the shape that your soul takes is to the extent or in the way and in the manner toward which you respond to what Allah has ordered us to do. When we do what Allah has ordered us to do, then our psychic body takes on the form and the shape and the spiritual physique that Allah would have it be, and the strengths and the capabilities that Allah has built into it. That's how we grow ourselves. But when we fail to do that, then we become more and more deformed as a human being. And that's failing the test. And when you fail the test, you fail yourself. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. الله أكبر. بسم الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In these two ayahs that we read, or the second one, we'll spend our last minutes on this. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. So, it says, ومثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم ابتغاء مرضات الله وتثبيتا من أنفسهم كمثل للجنة بربوات. And we stop there. It says, the likeness of those who spend their wealth, ibtigha'. You heard this enough from me. وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا أَتَغَ لَهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ. Where Allah says in 2877, seek with the means that Allah has made of, seek after, go after it. وَابْتَغِي, go after it. فِيمَا أَتَغَ لَهُ, whatever Allah has given you, the life that comes hereafter. So God is telling us, use what I give you to get to the Jannah. That's what he's saying, right? But don't forget your share of the material world. So we have to keep these thoughts linked. Keep the ideas linked that, yes, you spend the wealth, but it's not all about life after. It's also about life in this world, which has to do with Allah's rights in our wealth, because there's something that Allah wants to establish in the world, and it's called Ummah. And in the world, it takes wealth. It takes resources to do that. It is Allah's will to build Ummah. It's not the Imam's will to build Ummah expressly. It is Allah's will to build Ummah. So when you make your contribution, you're contributing to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see in the world. And that is what establishes a life for us, both here and hereafter. But let's continue on this verse so we can, inshallah, get the point. And that is so, ibtigha'a maradatillahi wa tathbitam min anfusihim. Now this translates is that they're seeking the pleasure of Allah, maradatan. Seeking the pleasure of Allah. Okay, what am I doing this for? Why am I doing it? I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah. The pleasure of Allah. This is to please Allah. Right? But then it also says, and here's a key phrase, what tathbitam min anfusihim. Now this translator, he says, to please Allah and to strengthen their souls. And to strengthen their souls. Look at this word, and you have an important preposition in here. Tathbitam min anfusihim. It didn't say tathbitam for anfusihim. It's from anfusihim. They're trying to get a certainty from their own soul. 4 minutes. It's for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, and for the certainty of their soul. So some translate and say that the meaning is, and it's not wrong, but just another way, is saying, okay, when I give this charity, then I'm certain that my life in Jannah is going to be fine. So that's my tathbitam. That's my establishment. That's my certainty. I stand on that. And that's true. But in this context, we're inviting us to, well, take another look at it. Because there, you're supposed to be growing your soul and all the potential that Allah has for you in this life, and the destiny that Allah has for you is in your soul, and you're not going to see that good in this world or in the life that comes hereafter unless you grow your soul. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا. So whatever good you're looking for is already in your soul, but you have to draw it out مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ. You have to bring it out from your own soul. How do you bring it out? what you spend on it. And this verse is actually reminding us again, as did the verse that we started with, 260, what have you. It's saying, there it is. I mean, it's like, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ أَنْ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَةِ اللَّهِ وَتَثْبِتًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهُمْ كَمَثَلَ جَنَّةِ بِرَبْوَاتٍ. They are like a high garden. And remember the one we started with, is that the one who spends their wealth for the sake of Allah, they are like a grain. I'm trying to get us to see. The garden is you. The grain is you. The growing grain is your soul growing. And your investments in the interest of pleasing Allah is in the interest of getting something min anfusikum, from yourself. So you're at the highest level of conversation. It's saying that when you invest, it's you investing yourself, and it's you investing yourself in yourself. Because by investing yourself in yourself, that is your will to obey Allah, that ego self, saying, I want to see from the self, the nafsun wahida, the nafs that has all of my potential in it, not my socialized self only, my ego self. My ego self has a responsibility to the universal self. And when I act in accordance with what Allah has revealed in the interest of the universal self, then I will get assurances from the nafsun wahida of what this Lord has promised. And you will see from yourself. This is what it's saying. What are Allah Alam is saying, there's much about yourself that you don't know. And if you do, Allah, if you do as I tell you to do, I will cause your soul to give you assurances. Allahu Akbar. Okay, I think I finished with it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Qur'anu hujjata laka aw alayka. The Quran is either a witness for you or against you. وَالصَّدَقَةُ burhan, and sadaqa is a proof. Sadaqa is a proof. That's charity, given in the best way. It's a proof of what? It's a proof that you really believe. Yunfiku, hypocrite's term is also tied to that term. Yunfiku, munafiq. Sadaqa is tied to truthful. When you give truthfully, when you give sincerely, when you give for the pleasure of Allah and for assurances from your own soul, certainty from your own soul, proof from your own soul, you want to know if you really are a believer? Then look at how you respond to sadaqah. How do you respond to sadaqah? Oh, I don't know about that, man. But this believer that's spoken of here, they seek to get proof from their soul. I am going to prove to myself, not this ego self, I'm going to prove to myself that my soul is for the sake of Allah's pleasure, and my work and my giving it for the sake of Allah's pleasure is not for a high siding, it's not for showing off, it's not for any other reason than the pleasure of Allah and for proof from my own soul that I really believe. That's what the object of our sadaqah should be, according to Allah, our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. له ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. Oh Allah, increases in ilm, ihsan, iman, huda, hukma, taqwa, and sabr. Oh Allah, enlighten us. Oh Allah, give us light before us, behind us, to our right, to our left, above us, below us. Oh Allah, surround us in your graces and make us grateful for your graces, for we are totally dependent on you. And oh Allah, enlighten us as to the reality of this life's purpose, this life's aim. Free us from our own excuses. Free us from our self-justifications. Help us, O Allah, bless us to be completely faithful in your way and remove from us any doubts from within our own self and help us to have and live with conviction in what you have revealed and bless us to become doubtless about it. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akim as-salam. Allahu Akbar.
In such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success, living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test. But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my
possibility.
Now I've run across so many things that could block me, but I made up my mind. Much more than I can see, and so much that I can become. That's why I'm reaching by the sun.
I see my possibility. Just woke up and found him here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me.
I'm looking for the down the track. To the head, I won't look back.
I see my
لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمه الله تعالى وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning with Universe of the Mission of Leadership. Alhamdulillah, we just finished airing yesterday's recording of Jumu'ah live from Masjid Al-Wateen in Oakland, California. You know, I looked on GPS a few years ago. Oh, you know, there's several other Oaklands. So we're Oakland, California, alhamdulillah. And the subject matter is responsibly investing yourself. So it's a continuation of the our
attempt to cover the five Darori, family, intellect, religion, self, and now we're addressing property. Alhamdulillah, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the life, the time, the energy, the resources, the discipline, what have you, to go back and compile all five of those, edited and, filter them out of what have you, because it is very much, obviously, it's not, it should be obvious. This won't be the last treatment of those, nor the first, but it's one that's particular to our time and place, and we would like to be able to leave that as a sadaqan jariya, inshallah, because I think Allah is, it's true, and inshallah, as we evolve, we'll be able to even deepen our understanding of it. So we look forward to that. And I look forward to hearing from you as we begin our broadcast this morning. So come on through, punch one on your phone, bring us your comments and your contributions to the conversation. Alhamdulillah. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam, rahmatullah, my brother Katu, to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to your very astute radio listening audience, Mark Shahi from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. Once that alhamdulillah, that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. I want to just say another excellent, excellent khutbah, as I think you're on the last letter of this in terms of how to establish Ummah. It's something you say, I won't comment on everything. I want to say I have so much on my mind, but I'll just keep it to the limit that you've asked all of us to do, inshallah. Is you said many years ago, and you repeated it in the khutbah, and it really resonated with me, what our teaching leader, Imam Huwaitha Deen Muhammad, he said to us to give us a right perspective in terms of who we are, what it is that we have in our possessions, that we're not the owner. We're not the owner of those things, but we have been entrusted with them. So, in fact, we are trustees. We're trustees. And how we discharge the trust is going to determine in terms of what our destiny in terms of the attitude that we take toward those things, and if we wind up hoarding those things or what, in that regard. And you spoke about the influences, how things can influence us. As a wordologist, the word idea I've used in workshops for years now, and that is influence determines eventual action. Influence determines eventual action. The most dominant influence in our life will determine the eventual action and what it is that we see. So we have to ask ourselves, what is and what should be the most dominant influence in our life to determine the eventual action? And, of course, as believers, we want to have the right action. So that means that what it is that our soul is being fed has to be the word of revelation. In particular, the final revelation coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of that, to have the right type of action in terms of how we're supposed to be and what it is that He blesses us with. What is it we're supposed to do with that? And who do we owe this life to? Who has given us this life to make a choice, to have a voice, and all? And I know I'm probably right at the end of my time, but I want to say, can I say one more thing?
Of course.
I have time? Okay. And then you use the word influence. And influence, it never fails, lurking under each new challenge emerging. So the challenge, as she was referring to, is the test. the challenge mm-hmm. is that what will we do? What will we do with the challenge? And in that word, that E is we have to embrace the challenge. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that we are a vendor. You know, we are a vendor of our soul. And we don't realize what you said today in terms of what the Prophet has said. We are actually making transactions each and every day in terms of the relationship and how we conduct those relationships. And it has an impact upon the soul. And we owe that to the soul. The soul knows it has a goal, and it's to get back. It's to get back to the garden. It's to get back to the Jannah. And so this whole life is a test. And we should hear that each and every day in our subconscious mind, in our conscious mind. Testing, testing, testing. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Allahu Akbar. Shukran. All right.
That's one.
Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. So beautiful. And we're hanging on for that. This is not a jab. This is a motivation. We're still hanging on for that book. He's offline right now, but he heard me. We need that book. That book would help me, and I know it helps so many others. And there's so many public speakers, influencers, motivators, teachers, especially teachers in this world. I mean, I can see that book. I'm going to mention a name that I know Brother Mark knows. Good Brother Douglas. We're probably mutual friends, but I'm not aware of what their relationship might be. But Brother Habibullah Saleem, he's down in New Orleans. Alhamdulillah, he does a lot of work with schools, poetry, you know, motivation, classroom teaching, those kind of the meaning of idea, the meaning of influence, those kind of teaching. And I know there's a word for that in whatever language sciences. Perhaps Brother Mark knows what that is. But I know that because there are other disciplines, if you will, that actually do that as well. They take the word and they break it up into an acronym and then put meaning that is true to the concept inside the word. That's powerful stuff. That is very, very valuable. And we need people like Brother Mark and others who do that to give us those tools. We need those tools. We can add them to our khutbahs. We can add them to our presentations and enrich them, spice them up. Alhamdulillah. In fact, that kind of thing is what's actually in the speaking industry. It's called spice. That is spice. So, mashallah, we look forward to that publication. So, alhamdulillah. So, we're going to continue this morning. Touch on a couple of things. Reinforce a couple of things. Let me see. Give me a minute, and I'm going to go ahead and somebody's online. It's Brother Ismael. I'm going to construct a little PowerPoint piece real quick here. Brother Ismael, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. I'm just checking in just to give the greetings and also to second that book. I'm waiting on that book also because, like you say, that could be on so many. You know, you're going to corporate offices and they have these posters up of what, you know, words mean and things, and I can just see that all over, you know. So whenever the brother talks, I do think about that book, and I believe the word is a backronym, BACKRONYM. That's an acronym.
Oh, okay.
It's formed of already existing words, but you expand the letters into words or a phrase. So I believe that is the term. So I just wanted to add that. I'm enjoying the program. Thank you.
Thank you. Alaykum as-salam. Hey, oh, hold on. Somebody, I don't even know. I think it was, I don't know, was it Jahari? Oh, no, Brother Peter. Brother Peter, you're one of our classmates from Clear Understanding. He said, that he had made contact with you when you were, when he was down your way, Brother Peter.
Yes, sir. He had reached out to me months ago. He didn't realize I lived in the Dallas area, so he had family here. So he, mm-hmm. he said, when the, you know, whenever he comes in, he most definitely going to touch base with me. So he did, and we were able to link up for a couple of hours. So I really appreciated that.
That's good. That's wonderful. Much more to be said about just that event itself. We'll mention it in passing. Alhamdulillah. So let me get to these other notes here. Thank you, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Alaikum assalam.
All right. So the thing, the word that based on that brief exchange that we just had, that's what you call distributed cognition. Distributed cognition. You all make a note of that. Distributed cognition. And also add to that the network effect. I'm not. You should know by now if you've been listening to me. If I mention that and something like that, and it sounds like, oh, I never heard of that. Oh, yeah, I heard of that, but I never knew what it really meant. You need to check into both of those things, especially Muslims who identify themselves, quote unquote, in the Association of Imam Wahdati Muhammad, particularly so. Because listen, I'll mention them again before I go on. Distributed cognition and the network effect. The network effect. You need to look those things up. Because we have a long way. And if you want to see more of what our potential holds for us while you're living, and those of us who are in the fourth quarter, that my brother, I first heard that from my brother. He passed away. Inna lillahi inna ilayhi raji'un, rahimahullahu alayhi. Brother Zaki Zarif. Who's a freshly minted grandpa also, because his son and wife, Shahida is Zarif now, just had a baby girl. Let me just abbreviate, had a baby girl. So he's been posthumously added to the family tree. She's added to the family tree. Alhamdulillah, and the idea is, he says, we're in the fourth quarter. That's what I'm saying. He was the first one that I heard use that language, the fourth quarter. It's like in those 70s, you know, when I say, I mean, it's a little bit of humor, you may as well. A little bit of humor. Some of us in overtime, mashallah. I'm going to tell you, listen, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the average life in my community is 60 to 70 years. Now, you can say, well, okay, well, that was the life expectancy back in the Prophet's time. No, it was much shorter than 60 or 70 years back in the 7th century, okay? So, I don't have any problems there. We're in the fourth quarter. You know, once you cross that, especially that 70 bridge, alhamdulillah, and I'm billahi alameen, that's a beautiful thing. So, inshallah, if Allah blesses you, graces you to get that far, and alhamdulillah, it's like, inshallah, you may be closer if you're pleased with the life that you live and you feel like you've lived the life to the best of your ability, and yeah, there's some things you could have did better, and yeah, there's some things that I wish I knew then that I know now, but hey, it is what it is. So it's like, so you may very well be getting closer to redemption, you know, redemption meaning that, look, you done saved up, y'all go ahead and take the humor. It's like, you know, you saved up all them cans, you done saved up all them recyclable bottles, you can save up, and it's time to redeem, inshallah. So passing from this life, and the Prophet said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that death is the gift of Allah to the believer. Death is the gift of Allah to the believer. Why? Among many reasons, but one of them is, look, all those souls, the bending of your soul every day, and those salats and those fasting and that sadaqah and that zakat and that, it's like you probably got a nice little bag, inshallah, to use that language. You probably got a nice little bag waiting for you with God, inshallah. So that's why you don't want to miss any opportunity to purify it, to stack a little bit more in this world, because you don't know when redemption time comes in, right? And it's not recycling. It's, yeah. Mm-mm. Okay. So that's a metaphor for you. So the point is that this state that we're in is really, really a blessed opportunity. So, all right. So I'm not going to, sometimes when I come in the morning, and thank you for kind of hanging in, being patient with my little stutter steps right now. Many times I come to this broadcast. Okay, what are you going to talk about? Well, I don't know. Formally, I know that the base of it. But when I do, I usually prepare like a presentation in a PowerPoint format. But what I'm going to go ahead and do now is I'm just going to share literally the Microsoft, so you'll be able to just see them on the screen. I want you to be able to at least see what I'm reading from. So this is like a page from the notes here, and here's this 1317, where we have. Which one are we working with? We're working with this. And, yeah, so that's the highlight. Let me separate these. And take this out. And create another page so we can see those. Almost there. Hang in there. Hang in there. Now, one more thing I need to add. Okay, now I think we're more ready. That's what we're gonna share from this morning. All right, so the first verse there, it was included in the khutbah from yesterday, and I went back, and I want to spend a little more time there. All right, let's just walk with some little tidbits of the way that we think, not just me, just by virtue of the sensitivity that Imam Muhammad sets up in us for thinking and reading. So the Quranic verse that we use in the foundation for this, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa lanabluwannakum hatta na'lamal mujahideena minkum was-sabireena والنبل أخبركم. Sadaqallahu alazim, says, and we shall try you until we test those among you who strive their utmost and persevere in patience, and we shall try your reported mettle. All right? So it's just so very important as far as just living life. And we talked about the hadith of the prophet, the rectangle and the lines and the usra yusra. That is life. I mean, you have to map that in as the reality of life. That's the world you live in. It's like if you lived in the rainforest, hey, you live in the rainforest. So it's like, you know, stop looking for Uber deliveries and all of it. That's not, you live in the rainforest, right? That doesn't happen in the rainforest, right? It's that, you know, you got snakes and creatures and this and that. And I know somewhere in the rainforest there are huts and this and different this and that. But the point is, you have to know where you live. And this is about the nature of life, essential reality, right? Ontology, another word. Know what that word, let's put it this way. Don't get locked into English. So there are words that you need to learn from from other languages, certainly Arabic, but there are German, French, you know, Spanish, other words, English words that you need to know that are carrying meanings that were born in that particular environment, that geography. But they were born carrying concepts, ideas, and principles, which is the nature of words. When you understand the word, then there may be some things that the Chinese figured out before the Europeans figured it out, and the Chinese came up with it first, and then the Europeans came in contact with it, and they created a European word trying to contain the concepts that were originally born in China, and the same way about other places. Can you see a little bit more about the meaning of, and we're in that period of time where we're approaching Dhul Hijjah. I don't think we're not in Dhul Hijjah yet. But Lita Arrafu, let's get past it. Lita Arrafu, Arafa, and Lita Arrafu, that you might recognize one and get to know one another. And the plains of Arafah being the place where we are all together, there together, and everybody has the right to speak, and everybody communicates with each other. So we cross-fertilize, and we create that greater cognitive, distributed cognition, meaning what I know, then I share with you what I know, and you share with me what you know. So now we are networked. Because now the information that was once in your head is also in my head, and what was in my head is in your head, and we're still connected. And so our cognition is distributed, so there becomes this global brain, a global brain comprised of the shared knowledge that these people who are on the same network have. See, the association of Imam Wahid Muhammad, see, there used to be a time. Now, I'm going to say, some of you don't know him, but we've got to save the history. See, it used to be that the ministers in the Nation of Islam, they would quote each other. They would quote each other, and they would identify each other as quoting. Yeah, Minister so-and-so of Cincinnati, he said, whoa, 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 whoa. And, yeah. And what happened? There was a distributed cognition. There was a network. There was a relationship there, and power was in that, right? I'm not going to get into it's a minor matter, but it's a matter. So I don't want to stay there. So that leads to Arufu, that distributed cognition, right? That knowledge and the network effect is the more people share ideas, the sharing with each other, but then they move with the same background knowledge, there's greater leverage with that group when they have that. That's more of what we have to do. So Imam Muhammad gives us, you know, sensitivities that cause us to read things in a certain way, right? So going back to this, and get off a little bit of a tangent, but where it says, and we shall try you until we test those among you who strive their utmost and persevere in patience. We shall try your reported mettle. And so this this word, balawa, the root of it, is pointed out in both of these these words here, and they are translated as try. You know, we're going to try you, right? So, metal. The next verse here, the expression of it, 13th chapter and the 17th verse, the chapter entitled, I believe it's entitled, The Thunder. I'm just reading the expression of it. It says, Allah, it says, he sends down water from the skies, and the channels flow, each according to its measure. But the torrent bears away the foam that mounts up to the surface. Even so, from the ore is the metal before it's refined. Even so God is saying, he's given us actually two analogies inside of this one verse about one thing, right? And he said they're both symbols of one thing. One is of the water that comes from the sky, and then the channels form according to measure, and then the torrent forms up and mounts up to the surface. So in rushing waters, you'll always get on the top of it. You get this foaming on the top, especially in the beachfront scenarios. you get that. And then God says, even so, from the ore, he says, the same thing happens, the same message I'm sending, God. The same message I'm sending happens when you are heating up the ore under fire, just like a blacksmith's whatever, I don't know what you call it, cauldron or I think Vulcan, that heated pot of hot metals, right? So when they heat in the fire to make ornaments or utensils, therewith there is a scum likewise. So God is saying that foaming stuff that comes on the top of the water and gets thrown up on the shore, you have that visual. It says the same thing happens. There's something that rises up to the top that gets cast off. That happens in the rushing waters, and that happens in the making of metal utensils. There's a scum likewise. Thus does Allah, by parables, that is, he's given these analogies, show forth truth and vanity. So he's comparing two things. One is the truth, and the other is vanity. And the two verses that we began with, verses 264 and 265 of Surah Al-Baqarah, both of those verses, one tells you this is what the scum is like. That would be the analogy in 264. I won't go back to it. But you got a Quran, open it up. 264, that verse is saying, this is how the scum act. This is how the foam. 265 is saying, this is how the truthful act. This is the truthful. So don't lose that. Don't lose that connection. I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm happy, I'm pleased, etc. But you've noticed, I'm sure, that the khutbah time back, and actually by the standard that I'm reaching for, I was basically 5 minutes over yesterday. So inshallah, I'm aiming at being finished at 35 minutes, meaning assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, boom. And then we do what we're doing here today on Saturday. But of course, at other times, this would have been a part of Friday's khutbah, but mashallah, moving on. So don't lose that, because that's a very clear connection. And what brought me to this verse on one level, first order, is the Arabic inside of the verse, the Arabic inside of 264, 265. And you find, you're talking about networks, right? There are networks of meaning in the Quran too. So you find a word in one verse, and you find that same word in several other verses. You say, oh, okay, well, what's the connection? between this, because if you're using the same word in different verses, there must be some common meaning, you know. One of the philologists, they call it the semantic field, and even AI technicians, they have this hypothesis, unproven for them yet, to talk about meanings. So if you have a word that has a connection in its meaning, they go with meaning. With us, we even go with sound. What does it sound like, as the imam points out to us? And they say, okay, well, let's go over there and look. Let's see what's in there. And what I've just said to you is a very important connection. 1317, what it's talking about as the analogy between truth and vanity, it fits in what the verse 2:264, 2:265 is saying about those people who are vain and those people who are truthful. Vanity is spoken of 2:264. Truthful is spoken of in 2:265, and Allah knows best. So then he goes on, just the expression of that. Thus does Allah, by parable, show forth truth and vanity, for the scum disappears like froth cast away. All right? So the scum, right? So if you're looking at, I can look at it. You can look at it too, but I just won't be showing it on the screen. Let's go ahead and look at what's being said in 2:265, right? Yeah, no, pardon me, 2:4. This is, for this analogy, it's talking, and this is how the scum behaves, right? So reading 2:264, it says, O you who believe, cancel not your charity by reminders of generosity or by injury, okay? So when you do that, you know what the Quran is saying? The Quranic logic is saying, when you do that, you're scum. When you do that, you're scum. When you are always letting people know that I did this and I did that and I gave this and I gave that, always flexing with your charity, you're scum. Yes, ma'am. That's according to the logic of what God is saying. Right? Always asking me for this and always want that and I already did this and I already did that. That's the one side, the sense of injury from the charity. You do it, but you don't do it in the good spirit. You're scum, according to the Quran. Side of that, another way of that same thing is that after all I've done for you and this is how you treat me, scum. I mean, if I use Quranic language, scum. You don't want to be scum, right? Look up the meaning of that word, that colloquial phrase, scumbag. It's not clean, but God is telling it. Yeah, that's how bad they are. You know what God also, the prophet, peace be upon him, representing God's meanings to us. The prophet said, the one who takes back charity that they have given is like a dog that returns to its vomit. So God is not really pleased with folks who don't react to charity in the right way. So I think I've seen t-shirts. Y'all seen it too. T-shirts, God don't like ugly. God don't like ugly. So that's ugly. So, I mean, I know my language is kind of hard. But all I'm just expressing, okay, well, that's what God said. I'm just telling you. That's what he said. And then the prophet said, this is what he said. Don't shoot the messenger. I was a bit laughing in the shaitan regime. It's serious, but, you know, you need to have a little bit of humor. So it says, 2:64, it says, reminds of generosity. It said, they are like those who spend their wealth to be seen of men, but believe neither in Allah nor in the last day. Meaning that This is your giving is not connected to God and the redemption that we talked about earlier. All right? You're not building up in preparation for your life that comes after this life. Oh, it's just so, so very important, my dear brothers and sisters, especially my fourth quarter brothers and sisters. And now we know young people pass away, and may Allah have mercy on them and on their families. But as a general rule, it's the older of us that we expect that we're nearer to the door than the younger of us, generally speaking. And so in terms of that treatment and our attitudes towards preparation for the life that comes after this life, and God tells us, and this again has to do with if we do get to 265, I pray Allah bless me to emphasize what I'm holding at this moment. But it's like God says that the life that comes after this life is greater in rank and gradation. You think there are differences in state, status, condition, etc. in this life? When the life that comes after is even greater, right? The good and the bad. Because there are two ways to go once we pass through that door. And we want to go to the right. So that, and God says, God tells us about this life. He says, this life is mata'un ghurur. Mata'un ghurur. He's saying it's goods and chattels of deception. You all have heard that translation of it. I mean, this life is an illusion. This life is an illusion. And not in any kind of demiurgic. There's a little word throughout there for some of you who are in touch with that particular kind of thing. That we'll talk about that at another time. But not in that kind of way. I'll give you a further hint. Gnostic. I'll give you another little hint. Not in a Gnostic kind of way, that it's illusion. Also, there's a lot of people online, and they're right in terms of, as scientists, the way that they're talking about it, but the way that they commercialize the idea, well, you're not living in reality. We're living in the matrix. This life is an illusion. We're all in a computer program or whatever. That these are all analogies that they're using, and some people are just drinking it up like, well, what is it? He's like, well, hold up. Allah says to us in the Quran, 1,444 years ago, lunar years, of course, this life is an illusion. Okay, so what's new? So you are coming up with it now, like it's brand new. No, Allah said to the prophet in the Arabian desert 1,444 years ago that this life is an illusion. So how is also so big and popular and said for the first time now? No. It's always been the truth, and Allah has never hidden that truth. That truth is there. It's what you do with it and how you understand it that's the critical thing. And the only point that we're making today is God said this life is an illusion. It's the life that comes after this. That's the reality. You're not in the reality right now. We are not in the reality. It feels real, doesn't it? But in the scheme of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, just the very fact that our bodies are not our real self. Just the fact that our bodies are not our real, your body is not your real self. Have janaza, what do we prepare? We prepare the body. And what do we say? Oh, he passed away. She passed away. Passed away? It's like they passed away. So I mean, they were coming from somewhere. They hung out for some time, and then they passed away. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, live in this world as a traveler. You're going to be here for a while, and then you're going to move on. He said, I am a traveler who stopped and rested under a tree for a while. Soon I'll take my possessions and move on. That's life. That's life. And the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a part of being a knowledgeable one, a scholar, we talk about scholars, is one who remembers death often. Right? You remember death. Because that's coming. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Remember that. So you remember that, then what do? It's a purification. That's sure. I better get ready. I better get ready. It's gonna happen. Better stay ready. In fact, that's it, right? It says stay ready so you don't have to get ready. So this is reality. This is reality. So in terms of recognizing that, these parables help us to put it lightly. It helps us in that preparation, right? So God is saying the scum is like this. We already said 13:17. Now in 2:64, when we connect those two and see that scriptural logic, scriptural reasoning is, okay, this verse says that verse says this. Okay, what do they say together? Okay, and then once you know what they say together, oh, that's the message. That's the message. So we already got to the fact that, okay, these are the scum. All right. Then God further describes, okay, this is how the scum acts. What the scum do is feelings of injury, reminders of generosity, that's scum, all right? Another picture of how the scum is that they are imperable like a hard, barren rock on which is a little soil, all right? On it falls heavy rain, which leaves it just a bare stone. They will be able to do nothing with aught that they have earned. And Allah guides not those who reject faith. All right. So walking through that. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray for his guidance and purification and protection. He said, they are imperishable like a hard, barren rock. So other knowledge that you have also has to do with the way that you read, what you read. So what else does God talk about in terms of hard, barren rocks? He's talking about hard-hearted people. Hard-hearted people and hard-headed people. But right now, it's the heart. You're hard-hearted. The scum are hard-hearted, right? They have a front, a superficial. Superficial means just right there on the top. A superficial show of faith. They look like they are believers. They look like they have faith. Even when they give, they appear to be giving like good people. They are, in parable, just stone-hearted. And a part of the proof is, and here's an interesting thing about, Allahu A'lam, this is an interesting thing about this parable here. It says, on it falls heavy rain, which leaves it just a bare stone. There are two directions that, mashallah, inshallah, we can go with it. One is, since the verse starts off talking about generosity and charity, et cetera, so then what is the heavy rain, right? The heavy rain is God gives them more, right? God gives them, so one of the signs of rain is the mercy of Allah. Rain is the grace of Allah. Allah sends the rain, sends the rain and from barren soil, what appears to be barren, but that rain brings out greater and greater produce, et cetera. And so Allah gives this hard-hearted person, this is scum, he gives this hard-hearted person, but we don't know. Remember, liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanul amala balawa. Allah is saying that's not the word in this particular verse, but I'm saying it's connected with the network of meanings, the semantic field. All right, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he sends that is actually a trial. That person, all of us, it's with all of us, but he's saying, okay, here's the difference between the scum and the truthful. I bless everybody with heavy rain, right? Yeah. And so, but when the scum gets it, when the hard-hearted get it, even though they superficially, in the verse says, "Arayta alladhi yukazzibu bid-deen." Have you not seen the one who lies with the religion? They have a religion, but they're lying, right? And they don't even give, they don't even show, give neighborly needs, ma'un, right? So this is all speaking about people who are of those characteristics, right? So the heavy blessing, the heavy rain is the heavy, oh man. And not only do they got five figures, now they got six figures, right? And they got them six figures. So they're blessed. But what does it do? It says when it falls on them, it just washes away the superficial presentation of for believer. They are revealed through that grace from Allah. They are revealed as being hard-hearted scum, right? And so this particular situation here, it only reveals, it takes away that little bit of soil, that little bit of front, that little bit of, you know, presentation that I'm really a believer. It takes that away, and then it's clear. No, you're not really a believer. You're a hard-hearted scum. And that's the effect of this bellower. The effect of this bellower is it manifests what wasn't clear. So when Allah sent what he sent, he took that person for a test drive. All of those, the stone, right? So the little bit of soil is washed away. Right, and then listen to this verse in conjunction with that way of looking at it. It says they will be able to do nothing with aught that they have earned. So it's like Allah gave them this bigger blessing, there's more of it, but because of the state of their heart, all of that resource, they can't do anything with it. They can't benefit themselves at all, for sure. Why? Because they were not true to what their claim was. So, yeah, they got the blessing, but the blessing only revealed the blessing. Remember this, too. Every test is a blessing. Every blessing is a test, right? So if you get a blessing, you're being tested, right? You want that. You don't want to be a scumbag. You want to be true to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends, because the whole thing is a test. All right? So it says they will be able to do nothing with all that they have earned. So it doesn't matter how much that six figures, seven figures, eight figures, nine figures, doesn't matter. That hard-heartedness, and mashallah, yes, there's many, many hadiths. But where the Prophet talks about how rain comes down and it falls on different kinds of soil, right? You have fertile soil and other soil, et cetera. These kind of things are what, you know, really khutbahs get made of. And, okay, well, bring in this hadith, and you tell me this hadith, and this. So here's just another example. Specifically, it's like that rain that comes down, that blessing that comes down, those blessings come down on people of different states and conditions, minds, et cetera, right? And some of them benefit that. Look for the hadith. Some of it brings about soil, et cetera. Others provide ways where other animals drink from it, et cetera. And then something, you know, even in those hard places, even though they themselves, quote unquote, benefit and bring forward life from themselves by virtue of the water that is in their presence, but they do hold the water for another life that can benefit from the water that they have. So even these bare stone people, I know you have the idea of the bare stone being bald in that way, but it also can be concave and bald in that way, and the water is being held there in that hard, bald space such that some living creature can come and drink from and dip from and use that water to cultivate something else, also to quench their own thirst and the like. And so what Allah says, they will be able to do nothing with aught that they have earned. So even though they have it, they won't benefit from it, but there will be others who will benefit from it. So Allah will use even hard-hearted, scum to benefit the world. I'm just reading it up. I'm just reading it up. So keep that in mind. They will be able to do nothing with all that they have earned, and Allah guides not those who reject faith, right? So this the difference in the conditions has to do with the status of your faith, because this person has been described here, they had the front like they believed. That's what's being talked about when it says there's a little soil. On which there's a little soil. The soil is the weakness, that is the pretense of faith. أَرَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِدِينِ. Have you not seen the one who lies with the religion and they pray only to be seen of men, right? So it's like they have the pretense of faith. And then so when Allah blesses them, then it exposes their hypocrisy, right? And why? Because they didn't really believe. And said, and Allah guides not those who reject faith, right? And looking at the Arabic in the last word, it said, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَحْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And Allah guides not a people who are, and this actually is kafir. Kafir, kufr, also going back to acronyms and or rather transliterations, for example. When you have KFR, kufr, you know, kafara, the F can be pronounced as a V when you're speaking now English, right? When using English, the F can be pronounced as a V, right? And what is it? Cover. It's cover. And that's actually what kufr is really about. Kufr are those who cover. They hide the fact that Allah is the one who graced them with that. That takes us back to Surah 18, or takes us to Surah 18, Kahf, right? The chapter of the cave, chapter 18, that we're recommended to read every week. And the men, it's the men who, quote unquote, contended with each other, and the man had been given two gardens, but he entered into the garden in a state unjust to his own soul. So there's an example of someone. Look, you got a lot, but you got the wrong attitude towards it. You got a lot, but you're not recognizing Allah's grace on you. You're not recognizing Allah's power over everything. You're all hung up in the stuff. And it's an illusion. It's the benefit and resource and attainment for this life. It's a trial. It's a test. Yes, it's a blessing, but it's a test. So why don't you say, Insha'Allah? Right? And so that state, kufr, is covering up the fact that Allah owns everything and that everything is a grace from Allah. Everything is on loan from Allah. Okay? So beautiful. And really, this will be an unaided hint to to others. And that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, look, if you want that, you can get it from me. But if you try to get it from people in the world, there's a missing word in what I'm saying. Well, you try to get it from people in the world, then you're breaking my law. But if the same thing that you're trying to get from the people in the world to benefit you, if you did the same thing towards me, then I'll get you that and you won't have the harmful side effects from your trying to get it from the people in the world. Okay, take it. It's a little bit of a riddle. But inshallah, we'll get to it. There's a word inside of, which one? Yes, inside of 265 that connects with what I'm saying. So let me finish this verse and go into the next. Okay, so that verse, 264, is talking about the scum, right? The scum that is referenced in 13:17, right? 13:17. So it's in 2:64 is talking about the scum or the vanity also. Now let's go ahead and go to 2:65. Right? So you look at 2:65. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Inshallah, you have your Quran, you're looking at it. Because I'm not showing that on screen right now. وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَتَثْبِيتًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ كَمَثَلَ جَنَّةٍ بِرَبْوَاتٍ أَصَابَهَا وابل فأتت أكلها ضعفين فإن لم يصبها وابل فطار والله بما تعملون بصير صدق الله العظيم. So this verse here, an expression of it is, and the likeness of those who spend their wealth seeking to please Allah and to strengthen their souls is as a garden high and fertile. So here Allah is contrasting, okay, the two. Well, okay, I guess I got two. Since this is the one I'm talking about, let's go ahead and take this one out. And we'll come back, inshallah, time permits, we'll come back. Okay, so we just read this verse, right? So the expression of it is... And the likeness of those who spend their wealth seeking to please Allah and to strengthen their souls is as a high garden. Allah described the scum in 2:64, quote unquote, the same pattern, right? Oh, you who believe, cast not your charity by reminders of generosity or injury, like those. So it's like, okay, whoever does that, then you're like these people. You're like the people who spend their wealth to be seen of men, but they don't believe in Allah in the last day. They're not really believers. Right? And what they are like, a description of them, that is, if you want to see them, then think about this. It's a hard, barren rock, has a little soil on top of it, and then when heavy rain falls on it, all of that little soil gets washed away and there's nothing left but a bare stone, right? They won't be able to do anything with what they have earned. That rain is not going to benefit them at all, right? Because there's no reception in them for it, right? And God never guides those who reject faith. And they're also, it's not a hint, it's a straight statement in that Allah guides not those who reject faith, but what does God do? Well, if you have faith, then God guides you, right? So how does God guide you? He guides you through your faith. If you don't have faith, he can't guide you, i.e., he won't guide you, but if you don't have the opening for him to send his guidance, which has to do with the heart, you know, the hard-heartedness is what keeps the guidance out. But when you have soft-heartedness, and that's also a part of this heavy rain analogy, it also has to do with trials. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes when Allah, not sometimes, many times, most times for the believers, the hard trials, that's also the heavy rain. The heavy rain is hard trials, right? For the believer, it softens them up and opens them up more for the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how it works. The same thing that destroys one, it's not so much destroying them as much as it is revealing them. And so the consequences of that we call destruction, it's just a product of what was already in their state before the trial came. Right? So mashallah. So let's get to this last verse here. So it says the likeness of those who spend their wealth. Now you're talking about the truth. right? Remember 13:17, we're talking about this is the parable of truth and vanity. So we just talked about vanity in 2:64, and now this is the truth, right? So what is the likeness of those who are truthful people? They spend their wealth seeking to please Allah and to strengthen their souls. And then it says, what is their description? Their description is they are like a high garden, right? They are like, they're not a barren, they're not a hard stone with a little bit of soil on top of it. No, they are a high and fertile garden. It's not saying they live in a high and fertile garden. It's saying they are a high and fertile garden. Brothers and sisters, God says in the Quran, it says, and they make similitudes for God, yet forget their own creation. It's like, لَا تَخُذُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ. Allah says, no vision can grasp him. It's like, okay, God is like, and God is like, stop it. Stop it. You're not going to comprehend God in that. You're just not. Allah in his reality is incomprehensible. In order to do that, you have to get your head around God. You heard that language, right? Get your head around God. How you going to get your head around God? No. So the idea is God is saying, you're trying to figure me out. You need to figure yourself out. You need to figure out your creation. And here's how that we touched on it, I believe, last week. But I want to say it again right here, right now. You, i.e. that's including me, us, human beings. You are the seed, S-E-E-D. You are the seed. You are the soil. You're the seed. You're the soil. And you're the gardener. You need to write that down, and you need to reflect on it. You need to think on it. All of those. You're the seed, which has in it a destiny, which has in it all the potential, which has in it a complete and total plan. Everything necessary for the fulfillment of your life, God says in the Quran, 7th chapter, 10th verse. You are the seed. Right? Succeed. Look at the word. Succeed. What is suck? Suck is vacuum. It's a vacuum. And what is it? A vacuum is something spiritual. Right? It's a wind. It's something, a force that's pulling, a pulling force. Right? What is it pulling on? The seed. And it draws out, spiritually drawing out the potential that's there. That's what success is. Called the aflahal mu'minun. The believers are already successful. Right? So, moving on. You are the seed, you are the soil, and you are the gardener. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. Right? Who is he? The gardener. Who is that? You. What is it? Your soul. You have to cause it to grow. And Allah has said, I've done you a perfect favor. I've given you a way of life that's guaranteed success. That's the grace that we come into when we say, in sincerity, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. We have come to a life that has all the answers. To what? To this existential reality that we are just passing through. Somebody need it. Have you ever been to a city, been to an airport, been somewhere, you never been there before? You never been there before. It's like, just imagine the large, but I think about Heathrow Airport. You know, really, my first time at John Kennedy is like, Kennedy Airport, what? And even Dallas Airport, was huge for my first experience there. Man. So it's like, you think about places like that, and you don't know where the information stand is. You don't know where it's like. Well, so, everybody there going where they're going, trying to get to where they're trying to get to, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, you don't even know who to talk to, who to ask, right? In those situations. Okay, well, such is life. And God said, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to give you a way of being in this place you've never been before that will guarantee that you will get to the destination that you are aiming at. This day have I perfected for you your way of life. If you in this existence do what I tell you to do with this that I'm giving you, no problem. Everything will be a blessing for you. But that's only for the believer. Let's get to this. So, and the likeness of those who spin their web, blah, 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 blah. The soul is a high garden. Now, here comes the heavy rain on them, right? And remember, heavy rain can go both ways, right? The heavy rain can be more blessing. It's like, ah, man, you thought you had a lot then. And Allah drops that on you. Wow. Doesn't destroy them. What does it say? It says falls on it, but makes it yield a double increase. Part of the riddle is in that right there. I can't help but give you some kind of hint. Part of the answer to the riddle that I talked about earlier is in that statement right there. Heavy rain falls on it, but makes it yield double increase of harvest. Of harvest. And the Arabic there it says, ukulaha. Bi'ayni, right? Ukulaha. This ukulaha, like akal. Akal means to eat. Akal means to eat, right? Ukulaha bi'ayni. So when they get their blessing, they eat twice as much, right? It's that, in urban language, right? They say, man, everybody trying to eat, man. Everybody trying to eat, man. We need to eat too, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ukulaha da'ifayni. It's like for the believer, they eat double. They eat double. When they get more, whereas the scum, they get blessed, bare rock, no benefit. The believer, they get blessed, they eat double. Right? So it doesn't harm. And also with the trials and tribulations, right? It was also symbolized in the rain, too. So, I mean, just go to some of those places. California has had it, and so many other places have had it, where it's like, man, that's a lot of rain. It's like, I know we want to rain, but we didn't want that much rain. Yeah, well, you got a lot of rain right now. So that rain can also be very, very destructive if you're not in the right condition, right? But for the believer, when challenging things come, it says for them, when it's a blessing, when they experience it as a blessing, then they're grateful. When they experience it as a trial, as a challenge, as a catastrophe even, the believers are sabr. They have this. They respond to it in the way that Allah would have them to respond to it. And that's the case of the believer only. So all things are good for the believer. So whether it's heavy rain as a blessing or heavy rain as a quote-unquote challenge to their circumstances. let me go ahead and say this too. You have the term humble. You read in verses of the Quran where it talks about Allah sent these kinds of catastrophes and challenges upon people, and then he asked in one verse, he says, "And why did they not learn humility?" This is what Allah says. Why did they not learn humility? Sometimes heavy things fall on you. For a believer and for the rejecter, it's still humiliating. But don't just stay on one side of that word. Humiliating. Say it one more time. Humiliating. You can hear human in the word itself, right? It will make you more human if you get from it the good that's in it, right? If you take from it the good that's in it, even though it was humiliating, most people read that only from a negative perspective, but it humbles you. There's the word again, H-U-M, hum, humiliating, humble, humanity, humiliated. God said, why did they not learn humility? So sometimes Allah puts circumstances on us, they are crushing, but the object is to make us more humble. They say, well, I don't need to be humble. Well, Allah knows. But if you are a believer, mashallah, it's okay. It's a humbling situation, right? And even so, that humility becomes an avenue of greater grace from Allah. Even that humiliating situation can, for a believer, become a growth for them, because power travels along the path of least resistance. It's physical law. Power travels along the path of least resistance. Arrogant, hard-hearted, hard-headed, puffed up. You're not going to be able to get more blessings, right? But if you get humiliated, George Foreman, as an example, he got humiliated by Muhammad Ali, rahimahullah. But what did that do? That opened up for greater avenues of grace, blessing, power, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, that's how it works. See, Allah used the same situation to make two giants, same situation, in competition with each other. One got humiliated, and then Muhammad Ali, of course, his physical condition was a humbling condition in the way that his life progressed. But he was a believer, Allahu A'lam, he was a believer, spreading, passing on al-Islam, modeling al-Islam, standing for Allah under all circumstances, at a time when that was not the thing to do. But alhamdulillah, and then he defeats George Foreman, which everybody thought George Foreman was just going to kill him, literally. I mean, that's, you know, if there's anything redeeming for me in the way that the Will Smith portrayal of Ali in that movie, it's like, okay, I really... That movie came through to really get to, oh, Muhammad Ali, he was a man alone. In that particular situation, it was nobody but him and God. Everybody around him. Man, this guy, he gonna get killed. And the rest is history. But Allah used the same situation and brought about giants from both situations. So one benefited because it went that way. Another benefited because it went that way. That's how Allah does what he does. Okay, let's finish up. So where are we at? Heavy rain falls on a double increase, and it receives heavy rain. Light moisture suffices. Okay, light moisture. So the light moisture is, okay, so God didn't bless me with as much as he blessed somebody else with, whatever. Or he didn't bless me as much this year as he did last year. I mean, we're talking now the positive side of the wealth, the grace. So it's like not heavy rain. It's just God just gives a little bit, right? But for the believer, that little bit is sufficient. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. You know the verse of the Quran, where the verse Quran said, and if you are grateful, I will give you more. Right? So Allah, so for the believer, they get a lot, they eat twice as much. They get a little, they're grateful. They're satisfied. Definition of rich, being rich, el-ghani is the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghani is sufficiency, self-sufficient. Any moment in time where you have everything you need at that moment in time, in that moment in time, you are rich. Right now, you're rich. Right now. Why? Because you don't need anything right now. You don't need any. Right now, you don't need anything. Even the air you're breathing. You don't need any air. You already got it. Now, if your air gets cut off, now you need some air, right? But the point is, if you don't need anything in any moment, it's in that moment you're rich. Work with that. So I guess we'll talk about what we thought we were going to talk about, the metal. We'll speak more about that, inshallah, in the future. We thank Allah for his grace. We thank Allah for his mercy. We thank Allah for his forgiveness, for his guidance. And we beg Allah always for his favor. So I'm just going to click through your greetings. Alhamdulillah. Dante, assalamu alaikum. Imam Farid, assalamu alaikum. Imam Habib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Anthony, ever-present Abdul Haq, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And Alabama, United States, you're going to have to hit me with a name for that. I see it, I recognize it, but the mind behind it, I'd like to know. Alhamdulillah, Brother Jerome, let me mention Jerome since he's one of our students in ACU. ACU, we're going to go ahead, we are going to have a private session tomorrow. Check in on that. You need to also check your subscription, so if you're not getting an email, you need to check and make sure you haven't been interrupted. But inshallah, those of you who are, you'll get the notification and the link for tomorrow morning. What's this, Sunday? 10:30. Yeah, so it'll be 10:30 tomorrow. The reason being that Father's Day is that you respect it. MashaAllah, it's good. Any excuse to do what's right is good. So we do that on next Sunday, so there'll be no ACU. So that's one of the reasons. And the other is I'll be in Detroit, inshallah, for the weekend in Detroit at the historic Wali Muhammad Masjid Wali Muhammad for an annual celebration, along with Sister Fatima Fanusi, who is the doctor, Fatima Sanusi, who did the writing on the history of Farad Muhammad. And so her and I will be sharing that space in Detroit. So therefore, so there won't be any other classes in June. And because of the other days that behind us, we missed a couple of Sundays, so we're going to do back-to-back Sundays. So we did one last week, so inshallah, tomorrow will be the end of the sessions for June, inshallah. So we look forward to those of you who are there with us on that. And those who are interested, you should check into a clearunderstanding.institute to subscribe to that. I'll tell you up front, it's only $10 a month. I don't know if you think what I bring is worth $10 a month. I mean, maybe you might consider subscribing, inshallah. What else? Renee Spratley, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hameem Habib, alhamdulillah, in the garden, alhamdulillah, Amin, alhamdulillah, Nasir, alhamdulillah, Amin, yes, Amin, alhamdulillah, we got to practice our Arabic there. Joyce Hasib, you are welcome, alhamdulillah, thank you. Ibrahim, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And Muslim Business Credit, MBS Business Credit. Oh, okay. Peter, I mean, we were just talking about that, Peter. Alhamdulillah, shukran. See you tomorrow, likely, inshallah. Hopefully, I should say. God's peace be on all. Everybody have a wonderful day. And we're going to outro a little bit from...
Jesus.